Hey, it's Brian from Rock and Roll Bedtime Stories. If you write us a question about a band that is on the bill at Louder Than Life, and we answer that question on the show, then you not only get a podcast episode in which you are featured, you get tickets to that day of the fest to see that band live on stage. You say, wait a second, who are these bands? What bands do I have to choose from? Slipknot, The Offspring, Slayer, Motley Crue, Falling in Reverse, Korn, Breaking Benjamin, Disturbed, Evanescence, Five Finger Death Punch, Judas Priest, Stained, Chevelle. That's just like the stuff in the bigger font. Find out for yourself which bands you have questions about. Send us an email to wearethestoryguys@gmail.com, and you might get a podcast episode with your question answered and some tickets.
Don't go to sleep, mother. Don't go to sleep.
And do me a favor. Don't disturb my friend. He's dead tired.
Well, what the hell are you saying, Doss?
You bruised half your body sleeping.
I sleep pretty hard.
Welcome to Rock and Roll Bedtime Stories.
Oh, my God. This is a lot bigger than I'm used to. Okay, let's do it. I got it in my hands.
Hey, it's Brian.
And hey, it's Murdoch. Welcome to Rock and Roll Bedtime Stories, y'all.
We are the story guys at gmail.com. There's a letter from a fan in Cincinnati. He's 17 years old. His name is Toby. Read what he asks us, Murdoch.
Here's what Toby wrote to us. Hey, guys, I was talking about Stranger Things with my dad recently and how they are about to start filming the last season. My dad, who is a Gen Xer, said that the mom on the show used to be the subject of lots of rock and roll songs. I just don't understand it, and I totally understand why, Toby. Can you guys help me understand why everyone used to be obsessed with Winona Ryder, a.k.a. the lady with all the lights and crap in her wall? That's why Toby doesn't get why anyone was obsessed with Winona Ryder.
It's really funny to think about someone's only perception of Winona Ryder being that.
Yeah, age gap.
Yeah, well, and we got the age gap's going to come into play even between us, right? Yeah. Because you are purely, fully right in the middle of Gen X, and I'm what they refer to as an elder millennial.
Yeah, and I watched her career as it happened.
And I could have, age-wise, but I couldn't because I lived in a household where I was not allowed to watch the three movies that make her, which are Beetlejuice, Heathers, and Edward Scissorhands. I was aware of them, especially Edward Scissorhands, because of the Tim Burton of it all.
Yeah.
But not allowed to watch it. So my first experience with her comes via a VHS tape.
Oh.
Probably late 90s.
Yeah.
And that's Reality Bites.
Oh, yeah. And that movie I've watched fairly recently, and it's not great. Toby.
So is it not?
I didn't think so. It's like the Ben Stiller show.
I used to call it one of my favorite movies, but I've not watched it in a long time. I feel like, for me, though, it was less about being mesmerized by Winona. She's just never been necessarily a muse for me. But it was like warning of the kind of guys I was going to meet in college. Like you see, you basically get two big archetypes, right? You're like,
yeah.
Oh, those got guys. It. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Toby, you lovely teenager. We were all in love with Winona Ryder. And so my first experience, I got to watch all those movies, you know, at the beginning. So let's start off with a quote from Winona's co-star in Stranger Things, Finn Wolfhard, which is a amazing name.
It really is good.
It is good. So this is from Finn. He said this, quote, "She dated Dave Grohl and MCA from the Beastie Boys and all these people," the 20-year-old frontman of the Aubreys said in a new GQ profile. Quote, "I could literally ask her what it was like knowing Kurt Cobain, and then she tells me everything."
Well, let me counter with a quote from Courtney Love, a little different than Finn Wolfhard. She once told VH1 All Access, "You're no one in rock until you feuded with me or slept with Winona Ryder."
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty great point.
Listen, regardless of what you think about Courtney Love, she can do zingers. The zingers are good.
I have to mention this. Brian and I went to go see a band a couple weeks ago. We went to go see Guided by Voices. And at some point, Guided by Voices had a major label deal.
Yeah.
And they were on the same label as Nine Inch Nails,
yeah,
and Hole,
yeah,
and then the lead singer of Guided by Voices said, or as Courtney Love calls them, Three Inch Nails.
he had a lot of jokes that night. Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned this quote from Finn. I'm not sure Finn's correct. Not to get too in the nitty gritty, but I don't think she ever dated MCA.
No,
or,
no.
Or Dave Grohl.
No, no. There's photos of her with Ad Rock. And,
okay.
And we can get back. There's lots of X's or whatever. But to be upfront and clear, we're not trying to degrade or say anything negative about Winona because she's...
She's the best.
Yeah, yeah. And she, I guess, like, inherently single. She was, like, not married, like, a if she was.
And she had this outsized influence on rock and roll. If you don't know anything about this, you're about to be blown away by the amount of influence she has. Episode 160 in the archives is called Songs Versus Muses. I really enjoy that episode. It's about women who inspired certain songs. We took three different songs and talked about who was the inspiration for them. So I this could maybe be considered like a spiritual sequel to that discussion because Winona was a huge inspiration slash muse to a lot of people. And one thing I find really fascinating is there is a template for this, right? They used to call them groupies. That's not what Winona is.
No, no.
And she's not even like a Bebe Buell, who we've talked about on the show before, who has a lot of relationships with famous men, ends up having a child with a certain famous man, if you've not heard that episode. And there's a lot of energy in songs, or at least musical energy, devoted to her. But she was always in relation to the musicians. What's so fascinating to me about Winona is Winona, at the time and now, has had more success than most of these men.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it was, it's like she has the agency. It's never about her riding the coattails. It's sometimes the exact opposite, which I find really interesting.
Yeah. She's on the surfboard on top of the wave. Her career worked out.
Yeah. And there was a moment where it was real touch and go, and then Stranger Things happened, and she's back.
It really is true. But back to beginning, this is my favorite thing if you don't know her real name and where she's from. Winona Ryder, her real name was Winona Laura Horowitz, and she was born in Winona County, Minnesota.
She's named after the county born in.
Yeah, and her family, I knew this, her family moved to a commune, and it was called Rainbows in California. She went there when she was 10.
Now, speaking of the commune thing, just for a moment, do you know who her godfather is?
Yeah, it's he was my godfather when I was in seventh grade, Timothy Leary.
So he was a spiritual godfather to a lot of people who like to do drugs. But
yeah, her father used to work for Timothy Leary as an archivist, which is crazy. And so the godfather of LSD and Winona Ryder, what a tag team,
dynamic duo.
Yeah.
You know, he was arrested, not to get distracted by talking about him, but he was arrested like 36 times in the 60s and 70s. That's a certain psychology. If you want to understand Winona Ryder, realize that she grew up with her godfather being Nixon's most dangerous man in America.
Yeah. Definitely Timothy Leary didn't get stuck with that three strikes and you're out.
No.
Like 36.
36.
I'm going to still
strikes.
Manufacture lysergic buttholes. So, do you remember, because this is a imprinted in my brain thing. Do you remember Winona's first movie? Did you ever see it?
So, this is before Heathers and Scissorhands
super
and Beetlejuice?
Super young, yeah.
I don't know. What was it?
So, it's called Lucas. Did you ever watch Lucas?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my gosh. So, I watched Lucas over and over and over again. I watched Lucas. And I had that's where, like, the crush with... For me, that started. So that movie has one of the Coreys, Corey Haim, everyone's favorite cocaine addict, Charlie Sheen, Courtney Thorne Smith, who was also in Summer School.
Yes! How many times can we say Summer School in a month on this show?
And Melrose Place. And Cary Grant.
So that's movie number one. Movie number two is Square Dance. And you know who she was in Square Dance with?
I never saw Square Dance.
Okay, Rob Lowe.
Oh, yeah. Rob Lowe, St. Elmo's Fire. Remember he's the loser, druggy sax player?
Uh-huh. Remember when John Parr, who sings St. Elmo's Fire, was on our original podcast, Ice Cream Headache?
John Parr, who sang the theme song from St. Elmo's Fire, was on Brian and I's podcast. I feel the man.
What was that,
emotion?
Like 2012? It was forever ago.
I guess. So super cool.
It was like you and I were so geeked out about it, but it was very hard to explain. There was a lot of expository things that had to happen in the opening of that podcast to be like, here's who we're about to talk to.
Yeah, yeah. And then we found out that the theme song from St. Elmo's Fire wasn't about like a bunch of Brat Pack kids that Joel Schumacher directed in a movie. It's like, no, it's about a like a man in a wheelchair. That's a like, that's what it's really about. Amazing. Amazing.
Rob Lowe's a little bit rock and roll. He's not a rock star. are necessarily, but he is the TV producer of Aurora, Illinois' best cable TV rock show.
That's Wayne's right. Wayne's World. Yeah. And he's super hot too. So.
Okay. The next person that she dated, again, we're going to get to the rockers, but these are like rock adjacent people that I think are worth interesting and worth talking about.
Yeah.
Is Christian Slater.
Because mm-hmm.
of course she's in Heathers with him. Two things about Christian Slater. One, my teenage daughter is like Heathers is back. Like people love Heathers.
There's a musical.
But well, there's a musical and yeah. my daughter loves that. She also just loves the original text Heathers. So Heathers clearly back. Very dark movie. Mm-hmm. Totally understand why I was not allowed to watch that.
Yeah.
But for me, being radio guys, were you into Pump Up the Volume?
God, yeah. I had it on VHS. It's how I discovered who Sonic Youth was. Oh, absolutely.
I have the most embarrassing story. I hesitate to commit this to a recording.
You never told me this. I don't think.
So when I was in college, I know that's no good story start that way.
Well, yeah.
Except for the one where I met my wife, but most of my. It started in college. Stories are not good. This is one of those not good ones. I went out one night with a friend. I don't know how I got into the bar because I was underage, but I got into the bar. There's a lot of Captain Morgan. And then I decided that I was going to walk from the bar back to the dorm. And as I sort of remember it and have pieced it together since then, I think I got distracted by some honeysuckle on a fence, which somehow makes this story both sad and amazing.
Because I'm allergic.
You're allergic to honeysuckle?
Fucking totally allergic to honeysuckle.
Well, you're going to be allergic after this story. Mm. So I think what happened is I decided to try to get some honeysuckle, and then I decided to take a nap. So I
don't know what's happening.
Some friendly officers picked me up out of this parking lot.
And took
me to jail.
This was you going to jail.
This was one of the times I went to jail.
By the way, everyone who's listening to the show, who's never met us in person, of the two of us, if you met us, you would be like, that Murdoch guy is the one that's been to jail. Like you'd never.
I wish that was true. Yeah.
Okay, so they picked you went to jail.
So I went to jail. So the point of this story is that when I woke up in jail and realized I was in jail, I come out of just cold blackout. And I wake up, and there's one other guy in the room. We're in a holding cell. I'm laying on the floor. And the other guy in the room, to my drunk-ass mind...
Is Christian Slater?
I thought he looked like Christian Slater. And I was still fucked up. And so I just kept looking at him. Like, you know, like, so fucked up that you're hazy and you, like, pass out again?
Yeah.
I remember waking up and being like...
Greetings and salutations.
Worse. I just went, pump up the volume, man. And then passed back out. I did that like over and over for a period of hours. That poor guy, I would like to publicly apologize to you if you are listening to this show. I'm sorry I did that to
you. You're lucky he didn't give you a pair of West Virginia sunglasses.
I hope your day has been great. I hope your life has worked out much like mine has. It was a rough moment for both of us, buddy, but you didn't deserve that, and I'm sorry.
Everybody listening? Pump up the volume. Okay, so next up, Wynonna was in a relationship with a guy who had been in a couple bands. The one band you might know is the Hollywood Vampires. There's another one called Rock City Angels. And P, they fell in love shooting a movie, which we all know and love, called Edward Scissorhands. That is the glorious pirate Johnny Depp.
And that's where all of this Muse stuff sort of starts. This Johnny Depp relationship is like the first big thing. I think it hits the tabloids, all that sort of stuff, right? And there's a fun rock and roll tributary here to follow for a second, and that is that they meet at the movie premiere of Great Balls of Fire. Mm-hmm. So they meet at a rock and roll movie.
Yeah, that she's in.
I forget this. If you want to know the story, not of Wynonna Ryder, but of Jerry Lee Lewis, you can go back to episode 118. But she plays Myra Brown.
Yeah, who's his 13-year-old cousin. So here is where we see what might call the Wynonna effect, if there was a thing. So she has this real power over these really powerful men. They're in love with her. Example number one, and I remember this very clearly, Johnny Depp got a tattoo on his arm that said, Wynonna forever.
Now, you might remember this from your recent memory, because this actually gets mentioned in the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard court case. They talk about this in court within the last few years. See, they eventually break up, and the technology is not where it is at today. So Johnny Depp is left with the Wynonna tattoo on his body. And so he decides, let me be clear about something. It doesn't just say Winona, it says Winona forever.
Right.
So he gets the N and the A at the end removed. Right. So Johnny Depp to this day has a tattoo on his body that says Wino forever.
Yeah. And through that trial, if you'd listened to it, all right. Well, I could buy that.
And so in that trial, it comes out that Amber Heard was very frustrated about this, even though I'm not sure Amber Heard was alive when the Winona relationship happened. Right? Like, she's not that old.
Gosh, it's so weird. I don't know.
If she was, she was very young.
Yeah, I have no idea.
She's not my age.
Yeah.
So anyway, it is said that then she had him get a tattoo that was related to her in some way, shape, or form.
Ah, that's great. That's what you and I should do.
Get tattoos for each other?
Yeah.
Okay. Should. What does mine say about you?
Myrtles loves you. Just something cute.
You design it, and then I'll consider it.
All right. So we've hit Johnny Depp. So now we're early 90s, the decade I don't remember, and we're getting to all the good stuff for Toby and what he'd asked. The first song written about Winona with a guy that I love is a guy named Matthew Sweet.
This is the first really overtly Winona song. He says it's not about Winona, but it is about Winona.
Because it's called
Winona. Well, and here's the quote. The 27-year-old, who was born in Lincoln, Nebraska, that's Matthew Sweet, claims he never met a rental film he didn't like. His love song, Winona, from his breakthrough album, Girlfriend, shouts, got its name when he was stuck in a Heather's loop. That is apparently the technical term for what my daughter has been stuck in for a year. Although he wants to dispel the myth that Winona Ryder is the object of his desires. And this is the most early 90s slacker bullshit thing to say. It's like the name Winona, man. I think she's a talented actress, but the connection's purely random. Whatever happened to our capacity to be metaphoric? And I apologize to Matthew Sweet if you're listening. I don't mean to mock you, but that was a really, really slackery early 90s Gen X thing to say.
Yeah, and he does not talk like that. I just want to make that clear. I've heard this man talk. So I adore Matthew Sweet and his 90s records that he put out, Girlfriend, Sick of Myself, or Unbelievable. And he did, if no one knows about this, they kind of went kind of under the radar. He did two records of just covers with Susanna Hoffs from the Bangles.
Hell yeah.
And they are freaking gorgeous.
They're so good. And we're going to go see Matthew Sweet this summer together, correct?
That is right.
Yeah, we got plans. Free. We got big plans. Okay, so
keep it on track for Toby.
Making this clear, Toby, at home, playing along. Song one about Winona Ryder, if you're writing these down, Matthew Sweet's Winona. No personal relationship between Matthew and Winona, but she was a muse nonetheless. Well, let's go to song two, Murdoch.
Now, to do that, we have to bring in our personal, I guess, godfather of rock and roll. That's the lead singer of The Replacements, Paul Westerberg.
Now, this association seemed weird to me until I thought about the regional geographic connection, which is Minnesota.
Minnesota. So timeline-wise, this is thought to have happened near the end of the relationship with the pirate Johnny Depp. Can I just say the pirate Johnny Depp?
Yeah, you can say that.
And maybe contributed to the end of that relationship.
Yeah, but not because of cheating, just because of jealousy. Weirdly, this comes up not in People magazine. This comes up in Bob Mayer's book On the Replacements, Trouble Boys. Did you know for that book he interviews Winona Ryder?
No.
Yeah. And she says that she and Paul bonded and hung out, and this was indeed at the end of the relationship with Depp, and that it made him very jealous. But there is a quote where Paul says, "Everyone thinks we had this thing. Why didn't we just have it?"
What a great thing to say. So the question
for Paul thing to say.
The question for Toby becomes, is there a song from Paul?
Here's the deal. And we should just lay this groundwork. Basically, if Winona spent much time with a musician, fans of that musician think there is a song about her in their repertoire.
Right.
Now, are those songs in fact actually about her? Do they contain feelings that may apply to her but really are about larger ideas and various subjects? I mean,
is Winona an awesome name?
Yes. Of course. And it's a musical name. It's a musical name. Well, and we know how songwriting works. We've done it ourselves a bit. We've been around a lot of songwriters. We've been around the music industry for a long time. You know, they're pastiches usually, right? Both in words and stories and themes, but also just in feelings. So if you spend a lot of time with this person, during that time you were writing something, did that person have an effect on it? Probably. But it may not be as overt as this next one's about Winona Ryder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All that said, there is a Paul Westerberg song that gets associated to Winona. And that one is on the Grandpa Boy record. How do you feel about Grandpa Boy?
I like all the things that Westerberg did solo. Here's something I'm ashamed to admit, because of my age and where I grew up, the first replacement CD that was handed to me was All Shook Down, which was like 87. And like that's like Paul Westerberg solo record. Mm-hmm. So like once I started going back, I was like, oh, this is totally weird.
Yeah.
I love all of his solo stuff.
Now, Grandpa Boy, that record came out on Vagrant, which is one of my favorite record labels of all time.
Yeah.
And there was this period where they were doing that. They were just going to singer-songwriters, other people we're going to talk about, and they would just let them do like a one album deal. So he does this thing called Grandpa Boy. There's a tune called Silent Film Star.
Yeah.
And I think because of the Hollywood associations there, it gets attributed to Winona. But it actually, I mean, the Grandpa Boy record doesn't come out for years after when this would have happened, like 20 years.
And there's a fan theory of sorts we found on the internet that basically positions Paul as Winona's ultimate type.
I thought this was really interesting. Okay, so here's the idea. And again, this is just sort of like a fan theory.
Do it.
But the idea is basically that she will spend the next 20 years chasing that Paul relationship. That she basically just finds alternate versions of Paul Westerberg to spend time with. And in a lot of cases, they're guys who probably idolize him as much as she seems to. And it puts this discussion purely in our wheelhouse because you and I love Paul Westerberg, and we love people who love Paul Westerberg. And so there's this overlap between people Winona probably dated and my favorite singer-songwriters and bands of all time. Like, right. they purely connect.
So are you saying with the transitive property that then Winona loves us?
Or we're in love with Paul Westerberg, one or the other.
Maybe.
The loudest weekend of the year is back, louder than life in Louisville, Kentucky, with Slayer, Slipknot, Motley Crue, Korn, Judas Priest, Disturbed, Five Finger Death Punch, Breaking Benjamin, Evanescence, Falling in Reverse, The Offspring, and so many more. September 26th through 29th in Louisville, Kentucky. Passes on sale now at louderthanlifefestival.com.
So, okay, there's songs one and two. To get to three, we have to go to MTV Unplugged.
We should probably do an episode on Unplugged.
Yeah, and I was watching I haven't finished the Bon Jovi documentary that's on Hulu.
Mm.
That's a key for them. That's a turning a left corner for them when they basically were like, let's do Wanted Dead or Alive and let's do it acoustic on the MTV Video Music Awards. And like, that started the franchise for MTV, basically.
So yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, but the reason we're talking about it is around the time of the end of this Johnny Depp relationship. And while things may or may not have been happening with Paul Westerberg, Winona is indisputably, undeniably interested in rock and roll. And so she gets this invite because of her status, again, back to her agency in this, to go to an MTV Unplugged taping. And the band that night happens to be Soul Asylum.
Right. And she meets Dave Perner, who's the singer. So Winona, Dave, Paul, what's in common?
Minnesota. They're all from Minnesota. This is wild. And this is happening early to mid-90s. And so Winona's personal life's getting a little insane, right? Just fame, scrutiny, workload, all that stuff. Dave still lives in Minnesota, despite the trajectory that Soul Asylum is on at the time. So it's not long after the two meet each other, they actually end up moving into Dave's house together in Minnesota. I don't think we've ever talked about Soul Asylum. Do you have an opinion?
No. I loved that record, the one that had Somebody to Shove. And
is that Grave Dancers?
Yes, that's right. Runaway Train.
Yeah.
I used to call that On a Freight Train.
Dude, Runaway Train was one of the songs, and we've talked about this on the show before, I'm sure, where I was so music obsessed as a middle schooler or late elementary school kid that I would tape songs off the radio, and then I would be determined to learn every word, and so I would put them in my headphones and then write down all of the words.
So weird how we're the same.
I know. And so this is one of those songs I distinctly remember doing that. I still have a massive affection for Runaway Train. It's dark, but there's a storytelling element to it, and it's like really melodic, and I know every word to it because of that practice.
You just gave me a core memory.
Okay, hit me.
Wow. There was a time at some point where I hid in my closet in the first house I grew up with because the parents suck thing. But now
that's small detail.
Small detail. Now I recall being 10, so I can put it like it's 84.
Right.
The best year for me ever. Like the best KTEL record. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would go under our house, which was unfinished. It's just like mud and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just had like an area where I put some stuff to sit down, and I had a boombox, and I had like a thing of cassettes, and I would just record individual songs. I'd wait till the song came on. I wanted it. I'd record the song, and then I would get it, and then I would go back, and I would listen to it, and I'd write the words down.
Yeah. It's crazy that we both did that. I feel like no one else in the world did that.
No.
We might have found each other.
Nah. I mean,
that's why we're going to get tattoos.
That's right.
That's what it is. It's a little boombox and a small child.
Boombox under a house. It's like it's like a child under duress under a house.
Oh my God! I'm so glad we know each other.
That's me.
So the Winona effect on a band like Soul Asylum is a weird one, right? Like they get pretty big in '92. They got a lot of cred. They're a rock band, and then Dave gets attached to Winona, and they put her in a music video for this song Without a Trace, where she's like a bearded assassin. Strange choice.
Oh yeah.
They put out this record called Let Your Dim Light Shine, and the rock press is hard on it. I mean, you know, it's the next record it's after record. A big one, and so they give it a hard time, like they probably would. But because he's attached to her, they say things like this, quote, "Being Winona Ryder's beau has mellowed Dave Perner and robbed him of his creative juice."
Yeah. And this story here, I remember it, but I did not know what South by Southwest was.
Yeah, because this is like early. This is an early South by Southwest.
This is 30 plus years ago. It gets so bad, there's a period where Soul Asylum does South by Southwest and has to go on stage and announce to the crowd that Winona Ryder is not there, so that everybody will chill out.
And then nobody believes them.
They think that she's there and in disguise.
Well, and one of the things I read was that they think not only is she there and in disguise, but that she's with Tabitha Soren. Like, I don't know if Tabitha Soren, like, people also didn't see her, or if people did see her. You know what I'm saying?
What if Tabitha Soren was in disguise?
What if Winona was in disguise as Tabitha Soren?
What if Tabitha Soren was dressed up like Kurt Loder? Head explode.
Okay, so there's this song on Dim Light Shine. People do a tribute to being about Winona.
Yeah, yeah. And we could make this song number three, I think. And here's the... do you want to get the lyrics?
Yeah, okay. Here are the lyrics. Yeah. They're somewhat vague, but I mean, you could see how this could be about Winona. She starts wondering what they mean. Do they just mean to be mean? And thinking about the scene, do they just want to be seen? And trying not to seem so just like anyone, just like anyone.
And interesting, the music video didn't star Winona Ryder. It was Claire Danes during her My So-Called Life fame, with bumps on her back that, spoiler alert, turn into wings.
It's a pretty good video.
Yeah.
Regardless of how you feel about any of the parties involved.
My So-Called Life is still awesome.
Okay, so Ryder dated Perner from 94 to 96, and then there's some actors. David Duchovny's in the picture during the X-Files phase. Matt Damon gets some time with her for a while. This supposedly is a setup between Ben Affleck and Gwyneth Paltrow. Putting Matt on Winona. And then around the year 2000, this is where the rock and roll rumors really get going, and this is where we can probably pick up song number four. Because though it's never been officially acknowledged by either of them, there is a popular rumor that Winona had a thing with Beck Hansen.
Yeah, and there's a quote, and this is where people get this, that Beck said, "If you're seen standing next to somebody or together with them, and I've been keeping to myself mostly, I met her when I was younger, right before my first record came out," which, by the way, it has great songs on it that aren't Loser. "I hung out with her for a month or two, but talking about any of this is weird unless you're a complete exhibitionist."
Now, this is interesting because it does point out something that we'll see several times more, which is this idea that for an artist to have been inspired by Winona, they must have had sex with her. You'll notice that I'm saying she spent time with people, because we don't know the state of any of these relationships. And some of them are disputed throughout. Paul Westerberg, Beck, another one that we're going to get to later, where people are like, "Dude, we didn't date. We just knew each other." And there was this narrative that had taken over the Winona Ryder PR machine, which was basically that she was like serially dating all these people. It's not necessarily the case. Like, I think now we have more tolerance for being like, yeah, they're just hanging out. You know what I mean? It's not a necessarily that they're going to get married and have kids or all that stuff. It's like this, that whole portion of the celeb culture thing is has chilled out a little bit. But what we do care is what songs might have come out of Beck knowing her at all. And this one's particularly interesting to me. Song number four, Toby, could be, there's not a lot of evidence to support this, it could be Lost Cause by Beck.
And that record that Lost Cause is on is called Sea Change, and it is a breakup record. Like the entire thing.
You know, it's so, it's funny that you say that, because I don't have a lot of a relationship with that record outside of Lost Cause, because I distinctly remember sitting with my buddy Jeff and him talking about it when it came out, and he had, I think he had just gone through a breakup, and he's like, dude, it's such a breakup record. It's like this amazing breakup record. And I, conversely, was in probably the first 6 months or year of a relationship that has been in my life since then, with the woman that I ended up marrying. So I was like, well, I'm not going to listen to this. That seems like bad juju. So I think I own a copy of it. Not sure I've ever listened to it all the way.
Do you have a copy of One Foot in the Grave? It was the record in between the Loser.
I have most of Beck's stuff. That's the one where it goes acoustic, right?
It's on K Records. Yeah. They let him do that. It's all acoustic, yeah.
Well, Beck is such a fascinating artist to me.
Too.
Yeah, such a fascinating artist to me, because he basically isn't in a genre. He's just a performer who gets to pick whatever genre he wants to do at any given moment. And he has almost a pattern throughout his discography where here's an acoustic record, here's a funk record, here's a, you know, like he gets to do a hip hop record, whatever he wants, which is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. And if they have the Beck's first record and they haven't gone deep on that, like do that after this podcast. I mean, there's songs in there that are tremendous.
Also, Odelay still rips.
Oh, yeah. It's still super rips. Fun.
Now, I'm not convinced that any of this is true about Lost Cause.
I don't think that Lost Cause is about her.
I don't think either.
I think it's a specific breakup.
It's like a breakup or a divorce record, and he has been very open saying it's about someone else. It's not about her.
And he did have a divorce, like, at some point here in the last decade or so.
Now, song number five. Let's just move on to that. It's more widely accepted to be about her, and it involves another one of my favorites. Back to this idea that list of my all-time favorite musicians and list of people Winona Ryder spent time with overlap. That's Rhett Miller from the old 97s.
Yeah.
Were you ever a fan of the old 97s?
Oh, yeah.
I got plans to go with a friend and go see them this summer again. I haven't seen them in years. I've seen Rhett play solo acoustic several times, and he's unbelievable. If you ever get a chance to do that.
It's super intense.
The live show, the old 97's live show has been on my long list of greatest shows I've ever seen. And I'm curious to see it again to see if I still feel that way. But I remember drinking some beers and really enjoying myself in a sweaty club more than 10 years ago, probably close to 15.
Old 97's are still great. And so is Rhett Miller. This song, it's from Satellite Rides,
which was my intro. Like, I came in late. I came into Satellite Rides and then went backwards with Old 97s.
It's a great record, too. So this is Roller Skate Skinny. So I'm going to read the lyrics.
Roller Skate Skinny and the Terrible Twos. Sorry, go ahead. I just love that song.
How can you have everything and nothing to lose? You and nobody see eye to eye. You're going to wake up with a ghost
instead of a guy.
Yeah.
I think that's song number five.
Yeah. So six? How do we get to six?
Did you know that Ryan Adams thanks Winona in the gold liner notes?
No, and I've done some nerdy stuff about that record, and I did not know that.
Now, we both have had periods of being huge Ryan Adams fans. This is, again, another example of this, right?
Sure, sure.
And I've seen him live. Yeah, I think you and I have seen him together, haven't we?
I think so,
and yeah. It's disappointing. Every time it's been disappointing.
I've had some very disappointing experiences. So if you know anything about him, he has a lot of albums. He might as well just put out box sets like Guided by Voices. And he has some stuff that doesn't get released, and it's between that first solo record, Heartbreaker, that came out of his band Whiskey Town, and then Gold, which was the one that had the hit. It had New York, New York, and When the Stars Go Blue, that was covered by the Corrs. And did Tim McGraw do that too?
I think Tim McGraw did it.
Yeah, yeah. That's how he it's his mailbox money is that song.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah, so the record that was in between those, that was unreleased, was called Suicide Handbook. That is where the Winona songs are said to live. And in fact, when Ryan did talk about this record, he said the whole project was really an ill-fated relationship, really about an ill-fated relationship with a starlet.
Now, some of these songs do end up on B-sides record, I think Demolition, which comes out fairly early in his career. And so you can hear them. But a lot of it just sort of got lost or is probably on the internet somewhere. But you can find the songs She Wants to Play Hearts and Cry on Demand, which are supposed to be very specifically about her.
Yeah. Shout out to my buddy John Paul Keith that played on Demolition. And when,
nice.
When Ryan Adams was a complete butthole. And there's some fairly unsavory quotes from Ryan about his relationship with her. And this is a quote. "I made an ignorant choice of girlfriend. I met this famous person and thought, I'll date her. But all we did was torture each other. It was really silly. I don't know what I was doing with her in the first place," end quote. And you can find more of this in the show notes. But there's song 6, song 7, Toby.
Well, yeah, we'll just count both of those. Let's go to song 8. Adding to the list of overlapping with Brian's favorite bands again and why known as Former Flames. Dude, I love Pete Yorn so much.
Ah, the first Pete Yorn record.
So that is the base. That is the foundation of my love. I like everything he's done, but that record is in my top 10 records of all time, probably.
Yeah, and nothing he's ever is going to do is ever going to top that for me.
It's an interesting story, too, because what happens with him is he's in Syracuse. He's going to school in New York, and he's going to be like a tax lawyer. And he's got, I think, two older brothers who are in the entertainment industry in L.A. And he decides to join them and try to pursue music. And they get him jobs writing music, basically, in Hollywood. And so, Strange Condition, my understanding is it's actually written for Jim Carrey's Me, Myself, and Irene. Huh. And that all happens before Music for the Morning After.
Oh, so he wrote a song for a movie and then...
And then he gets the whole thing. But there's a song on Music for the Morning After called Just Another Girl. Sometimes thought to be about Wynonna. Again, it's vague enough. It could be slightly inspired by her. She could have been one of many inspirations. Who knows? I will say this. If you've never heard Pete Yorn, first of all, go to Music for the Morning After. But there is also a live album called Live from New Jersey, because that's where he's from. And it is the best engineered live album I've ever heard. And when they start Just Another Girl and the snare hits, make sure you've got good headphones. And it is inside your body in the best way possible, as weird as that sounds. Check that out.
And while we were talking about Ryan Adams, we mentioned that essentially that the whole Lost record's like a Wynonna record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not just a song or two. And in a similar vein, my favorite addition to this list. You ready, Toby? And if you don't know who this band is, we're about to freak you out. Because it's sort of weird. It's Helmet. It's the band Helmet.
I love this idea that she was Helmet. Like, all these other guys are very much of a certain ilk. Helmet, a little different. Tell me your feelings on Helmet.
Helmet, for those of you who aren't familiar with this band, I'm sure they took one of their videos, and not in a bad way, and had it on Beavis and Butthead because it was so awesome. Because their songs were so good. They had a record. Their first record was on Amphetamine Reptile. Jeez, I got really nerdy all of a sudden. And then they put out a major label thing, and I got to hear it, and I was just stunned. Like, I listened. It was something I could listen to from the beginning to the end. And so I loved Helmet, and I loved the record after that, like, for sure.
I, in the research, listened to this record that we're going to talk about, which is called Size Matters. People do not respect it as a Helmet record because it's really just Paige, and it comes out after... So Paige Hamilton, to back up, is the guy who founds the band. It's really his band.
And he wears like, polo.
He looks like a nerd.
He looks like a nerd, and he is
rips.
Not.
Absolutely yeah. Rips. So he's the main associate with the band. He's the main associate with Wynonna. But there are two other guys in the band in the late 90s, and things get very acrimonious, as they often do in bands. There's like this quote where Paige says, you know, we just played too many shows and got sick of each other. And so he tries to get them all back together at a certain point, and they tell him no. But he puts out an album anyway called Size Matters.
Right. He makes a record and openly states that a large portion of the lyrics are about Wynonna Ryder.
So, Toby, you can pick a song off of Size Matters and just count it on this list. But I might suggest Everybody Loves You. That seems pretty clearly directed at Wynonna if you know that song. Yeah. And that album rips. It may just be Page, but it rips.
All right. So next on the list, this is one I'm the least familiar with, is Connor Oberst, who is sometimes better known as Bright Eyes. And he has a song called Classic Cars.
Now, this, if you know anything about Bright Eyes, it's a little bit like Beck. Like, the genre changes quite a bit from time to time. And this is from his Dylan's New Morning period, as I like to call it. And that means there's a bunch of organ, and it's a loping story song that goes on for a long time, and it jams. It's a very, very good. I put this in the category with the Pete Yorn song, though. Is it about Wynonna? I don't know for sure, right? The internet seems to think so. So I'm thinking, if we're keeping track at home, Toby, go ahead and pencil this in as number 10.
Wow. Toby, by the way, in case you're not counting, 10. We've talked about 10 songs that maybe are about Wynonna Ryder. So now let's take a left turn at Albuquerque and talk about one of your faves, Third Eye Blind.
I knew you were going to bring this up. Well, okay.
Come on, man. That guy is unbelievably good looking, even though he's apparently a jerk.
So this one's actually debatable. First of all, there's no song that people tend to think is about her. There are other songs about other people, but there's none about her. And there's also an interview in the show notes from 1998 where Stephen Jenkins is asked straight up. This guy's like, so you're dating Wynonna Ryder? And he's like, no, we're just friends. And he's not the kind of guy like who would lie about that. Now, even so, at this time, she is helping them organize a benefit show in their hometown, which is an interesting note. So he just says, yeah, no, we got to be good friends. We have a similar energy. We like each other, but yeah, we're just friends. Now, could he be lying? Could it develop later? All of that is very possible. And the actual rumor that involves Third Eye Blind and Wynonna Ryder has to do, this is a very unverified internet rumor that I don't think can really be verified. There's this rumor that Stephen Jenkins from Third Eye Blind dumps Wynonna Ryder for Charlize Theron. And he did write pretty much an entire album about breaking up with Charlize Theron. So we know he's not above writing songs about girls he dates.
Yeah. Other favorite band for Brian? Counting Crows.
Just making fun of me because of this list.
Maybe I should have just said, okay, Stephen Jenkins and Adam Duritz.
Yeah.
I'm not making fun of you because of the...
No, well, it's just
handsome,
so...
Handsome frontman from bands that Brian likes.
It's so funny how many my favorite artists are on this list of connected to Wynonna Ryder. Those are my two favorite bands, Counting Crows and Third Eye Blind. So Adam Duritz is rumored to have spent time with her early 90s. So on the timeline, probably after Dave Perner. But before everything else, again, there is not a song that is properly attached to her, but this is a guy who loves to write songs about famous women. We could do, and I've considered it, and I just thought you would fall asleep on me. We could do an episode about all the songs Adam Duritz has written about
our
famous
listeners
women.
Are me.
Well, and you're an important part of this. I need you in. I need you invested. He's written a lot of tunes about actresses. We will not get sidetracked by that, but none of them have been connected specifically to Wynonna.
I told you the next Counting Crows show I'll go.
Oh, really? For real?
Yeah, sure.
Dude, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
I went once. I think I saw them once. That's the problem. I think I saw them.
Yeah.
Don't remember.
Oh, I love them.
So another case is Blake Sennett from Rilo Kiley. They were spending time together, but not sure that turned into a song.
Yeah, I don't know either. That's another one. If we want to finish out this playlist, there are songs that are specifically and very clearly about Wynonna, but aren't all that famous and definitely weren't written or performed by people that she knows or spent any time with.
Is one of them Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver by Primus?
She thought it was.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
She thought it was. Do you know that story?
No.
So there's a story that she confronts them at a music festival and is like, this isn't cool.
Oh my God.
It's also...
She confronts Les Claypool.
And he... Now, to hear him tell the story, his response is, no, man. And then follow up with... I spelled it with a Y. Yeah. And he said in interviews, like, why didn't people think it was about the country singer? Like, that makes more sense. Now, there's...
Right, because that's how it's spelled.
An addendum to this story, somehow connected, is that Dave Perner also thought it was supposed to be about her. And so he took to calling it Les Claypool is a Giant Asshole. That was like his subtitle for that song, which I think is very funny.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, did you know that that song... was nominated for a Grammy?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. It lost to Pearl Jam. Thank goodness.
Okay, other less popular songs that could be about Wynonna.
Maybe.
Do you know the Drop 19s? 1992. Do you remember this?
Familiar-ish.
They had a song called Wynonna. There is a song by Disintegrated Einstein, not a band I jam regularly. They have a song called The Wynonna Ryder Song, so that's very clearly about her. And there's a band called Unrest that has a song called Wynonna Ryder.
Oh, do you like Unrest?
Do you like Unrest?
When I was in college and the first Unrest CD got sent to me by a record label, I was like, what is this grill of a car that has blood all over
it? Oh, my God.
And I was like, yes.
So I might be confusing them with Unwound. Did you ever listen to Unwound?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Totally different. But like completely in that same genre of like not everybody's gonna like them.
Yeah, we're like, so right,
both super heavy bands.
I feel like we've done the work here for Toby. This is a lot of stuff to get you started.
Did we miss one?
And now I don't know if we've really explained why. I would say that if you want to know why everybody loves Wynonna, go watch those three movies.
Yeah, or watch Lucas.
Or watch Lucas. If you have songs you think we missed, because there's a lot of them, if you're convinced there is another song that involves Wynonna Ryder, another band, because there probably is, you can hit us up. It's wearethestoryguys@gmail.com. And remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/rockandrollbedtimestories. We'd really appreciate that. And if you can't part with dinero, we get it. Times are tight. You can do us a favor by leaving a review on whatever platform you listen to this show on.
Stars.
Give us 5 of them, and that would be really helpful.
Stars.
And it's something you can do with just a little bit of your time. So thank you. Okay. What should people keep doing until next time, Murdoch?
Keep telling stories.
Rock and Roll Bedtime Stories is a Story Guys production. The show is produced and edited by Brian Eichenberger. Get more stories, hear more podcasts, and book the guys for your conference or house party at wearethestoryguys.com. Copyright Boy Have We Got Stories Productions. All rights reserved.